Oh, yeah, people, it's happening. Today on The Sporkful, I'm going to sit down with the one and only Weird Al. Food has always been a huge part of his music. Eat It, Fat, The Ride of the Kaiser, My Bologna, and, I mean, just so many others. Who could forget this one?
I hear those ice cream bells and I start to drool. Keep a couple quarts in my locker at school. Yeah, the chocolate's getting old. Vanilla just leaves me cold. There's just one flavor good enough for me. Yeah, me. Don't give me no crummy taste spoon. I know what I need. Baby, I love Rocky Road. So won't you go and buy...
Chocolate's getting old. Baby. Vanilla just leaves me cold. Do you stand by those lyrics today?
No, I never, you know, and not every lyric that I write is autobiographical. Right, right. In fact, I like Rocky Road. I wouldn't go so far as to say that I love it. I don't think I've actually had Rocky Road ice cream since 1982, because that's, or 83 was when the song came out. And as part of the promotion for that song, I had to participate in so many Rocky Road ice cream eating contests that I think I've gotten my lifetime's share of Rocky Road ice cream.
Right. So if you are more open to chocolate and vanilla than you say, which do you have a preference between the two?
Between the two, I generally say chocolate, because I always, as a kid, I know this is not the case now, but as a kid, I always thought that vanilla was like plain ice cream. It's like clear. Right. It's like right. It's like ice cream without any flavor. It's like, why would anybody order vanilla? It's like no flavor.
Do you have a cup or cone preference?
I generally go cone.
Why?
With a sugar cone. Because it's extra. With a cup, you can't eat the cup. Right. But with a cone, you get a cone.
I just grab myself a cone. And if I get fat and lose my teeth, that's fine with me. Just lock me in the freezer and throw away the key. Singing, I love Rocky Road. So won't you go and buy half a gallon, baby? I love Rocky Road. So have another trip on scope with me.
From WNYC Studios, this is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman. Each week on our show, we obsess about food to learn more about people. Weird Al first burst on the scene in 1979 with his song My Bologna to the tune of My Sharona. Now he's 56 and more popular than he's ever been. His most recent album, Mandatory Fun, debuted at number one on the Billboard 200 chart. That's the first time he's ever done that. And it was the first comedy album in history to do that. Now he's heading out on another leg of the Mandatory Fun tour, and he's playing huge venues like the Hollywood Bowl and Radio City Music Hall. Last week, he was on with Stephen Colbert, where he did a little poetry.
Are you familiar with Robert Frost's Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening?
Well, of course. Whose woods these are, I think I know. His house is in the village, though. He will not see me stopping here to watch his woods fill up with snow.
Yes, well, listen to this. Whose pizza this is, I think I know. This man is in the bathroom, though. He will not see me eating here to watch my mouth fill up with dough.
Wow, that is so moving.
Al and I met up backstage before one of his shows, and while we didn't get to talk about every one of his food songs, we did get to a lot of them. But the first thing I wanted to ask him about was his popularity. I mean, I don't know about you, but most of the music I thought was cool when I was 12 or 13, I don't think is so cool now. But there's something about hearing Weird Al in your formative years. You just love it forever. I asked Al for his theory on why that is.
I think that at a certain age, in your formative years, as you put it, you're more open to this kind of humor, this kind of questioning authority, irreverence. I remember when I was maybe 13 years old, I was crazy about Mad Magazine. I would go to used bookstores and try to find back issues, and it was really like a major driving force in my life, and I was obsessed with it. And I still enjoy Mad Magazine, but not as much as I did when I was that old. And it's kind of telling, because I've got a fan base that extends generations, but I think my hardest core fans are, you know, still the formative years people. In fact, if you ask most people that are, you know, older, like what their favorite Weird Al album is, almost without fail, it's the one that they heard when they were that age. It's like it really made an attachment with them somehow. And again, you know, the whole questioning authority thing, which what Mad Magazine did so well. I mean, everything from Madison Avenue to politicians, and saying that these grown-ups are not necessarily always telling you guys the truth. And that's an important thing to learn when you're young.
Right, right. So as we segue from your work to our discussion of food here, you are a vegetarian, have been for about 20 years.
Something
there, right?
Like that, yeah.
And even went through a vegan period.
Yeah, I mean, I still consider myself a sort of vegan. I mean, I'm a vegan, but I cheat on it, you know, because, you know, you got the cheese pizza on the bus, and yeah, it's hard not to sneak a piece every now and then.
Right. And I know you've said, I know you've moved away in your songwriting a little bit from the food songs, but I'd like to use some of those songs as jumping off points.
Sure, of course.
For us to just talk about food. But let's start at the beginning. My Bologna.
Ooh, my little hungry one, hungry one. Open up a package of My Bologna. Ooh, I think the toast is done, the toast is done. Diving with a little of My Bologna.
When you're not trying to rhyme with Sharona, do you say Bologna or Bologna?
Well, I used to always say Bologna. But it's spelled Bologna, and, you know, it certainly worked with Sharona, and because of my song, I have since then always said Bologna.
Really? So the song changed
you? The song changed me, yes.
All right, well, I looked it up in the dictionary. Either pronunciation is technically acceptable.
Yes, yes.
The white stuff.
You can see them in my teeth, head when I talk, head so mad in my pancreas, just went in a shock.
Eat Oreos?
On occasion. I mean, you know, not often. I don't even know. Are they vegan? I'm not sure what if the white stuff actually is.
I think, I'm not sure about vegan. My wife was raised in a kosher household, and I know that they took the, I think it was gelatin or whatever pork product used to be in there, so I think they are vegetarian.
Okay.
But they may not be vegan.
Right. Yeah, you know, on occasion I do, but I can't say it's a current, you know, it's not a big part of my diet.
When you do eat them, what's your strategy?
Well, you know, a kid will eat the middle of the Oreo first
and
save the chocolate cookie outside for last.
Okay.
Myself, usually I'll either put the whole thing in my mouth or I'll eat one of the cookies first and then eat the cream and second cookie second.
When you do the cream and second cookie, which side is up?
The cream. I'm not a monster.
I would actually argue the other way, Al. I think you should put the cream side down.
So it's like a surprise, so you don't know like what you're getting?
No, so that the cream is on your tongue, and it accentuates the cream flavor.
Wow. Well, that's another way to look at it.
See, I aspire to be the weird Al of food.
Yeah.
Crazy as anything you would sing about.
Yeah. No, I'll have to try that sometime.
Okay.
That could be a whole different sensation.
It's big. What do you think, if you were designing a new Oreo with pure ingredients, one that you could eat all the time and feel good about, what ratio would you choose between the cookies and the filling?
Well, I think the quintuple stuff would be good, you know, because I don't think they've done that yet.
Yeah, that's true.
In fact, like an entire pack of Oreos, there's only got like two cookies, and the rest is just stuff between them.
Right. That would be pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I stumbled upon some of these sort of fancy bakery imitation Oreos that were really good. They had, I would say, 1.5:1 cookie to filling ratio.
Did that work for you?
And that was really nice. Each cookie, I would say, was like 0.75.
Uh-huh.
Is adding up to 1.5:1.
There's a burger chain. I won't mention the name of them, but they make artisanal ding dongs. It's probably actually much better for you than the actual ding dong. But again, it's the whole nostalgia thing. It's like it's not the ding dong you grew up with. So
right. Yeah, there is something. There's a certain sort of like hyper processed umami thing that happens.
Exactly.
You just can't replace.
Exactly.
Lasagna. I think that you may have unwittingly agreed with my opinion about lasagna when you wrote that song, because a lot of lyrics are sort of like, you should eat my lasagna, or if you don't like that, try these other foods. I think that lasagna is a severely overrated food. I think that it's a ton of work to make it. Separating those strips is a giant pain in the butt.
For the longest time, my road manager had a thing, and the writer saying that no lasagna backstage.
Really?
Because I didn't know this, but apparently lasagna is very cheap to make. Apparently, so a lot of promoters are like, I'll give him lasagna, and then you wind up eating lasagna five times a week. So you know, I like lasagna, but that was off the writer for a long time.
Okay, but so you don't quite share my disdain for it.
For lasagna, I like it okay. I wouldn't go so far as to say it's overrated, but I think it's rated just fine.
I kind of feel like, okay, someone's going to make you lasagna, and their time wouldn't be better spent doing something else for the world.
Like paint my house.
Right, exactly. You know, and give me what I think is basically the same thing, which is baked ziti.
Okay, there you go.
It's the same thing, except it doesn't require the fine detail of the layering of the ingredients, which is so time-consuming and tedious.
Right, so make me some baked ziti and give me a back rub.
Exactly.
There you go.
Now, which would you rather have, Al? Baked ziti and a back rub or lasagna?
Well, I'd rather somebody give me a back rub using the baked ziti. That'd feel pretty good.
Would you rather have a back rub with baked ziti or lasagna?
Oh, that's a tough one. That's really tough. I might go with the lasagna.
Really?
Yeah.
Actually, I guess for a back rub, that might be better. Uh-huh. You can kind of drape the long strands of pasta over your back. It's sort of almost like a massage towel of sorts.
That's what I was visualizing.
It'll all fall off.
Right, right.
It's not good massage food. I think that's a great point.
Would you like some zucchini? Or my homemade linguine? It's hard to beat, have a more fettuccine. Hey, you getting too skinny, you got to eat it, mangia, mangia.
Coming up, my conversation with Weird Al continues. We're going to get into some pretty hard-hitting questions now, people. Which does he prefer, the rye or the Kaiser? And does he ever really go on a grapefruit diet? Plus, behind the scenes on the making of the video for Fat, and we'll go deep on the lyrics to Eat It. Stick around. Don't miss the gargling solo. Here it comes. Welcome back to The Sporkful from WNYC Studios. I'm Dan Pashman. Please make sure you subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or the podcast app. Or, you know, wherever you get your podcast. That way, you'll never miss an episode. Go ahead, you do it right now while you're listening. Thanks. Now, let's get back to my conversation with Weird Al, starting with his song, Grapefruit Diet.
Yes, I am. Every picture of me's gotta be an aerial view. Now my doctor tells me there's just one thing left to do. Grapefruit diet. Throw out the pizza and beer.
Do you like grapefruit? Do you eat it?
I do. I eat it particularly. I usually only eat it when I'm on a diet, because when I'm trying to lose weight, I'll eat like half a red ruby grapefruit every morning for the entire length of the diet. And I like it, but it really kind of, you know, in my brain it means like diet. So when I'm not on a diet, I generally don't eat it.
So was Grapefruit Diet one of the more autobiographical songs?
You know, I think I read that song before I ever tried that as a dietary technique. But then I read a book saying, well, it wasn't the grapefruit diet book, but it was just saying that grapefruit was a great breakfast if you wanted to try to lose weight. So,
right.
And it seemed to work.
What's your grapefruit eating strategy? Do you use a spoon to scoop out the half wedges?
I do. I actually have a grapefruit spoon somewhere, but I usually don't bother trying to find it. So it's just a matter of digging out each segment and eating segment by segment. And then when it's all done, I take the half grapefruit and I walk over the sink and I squeeze the rest into my mouth.
Interesting. That's an interesting move there. That's you don't squeeze it into a glass?
No.
Okay.
No. Then I have to wash the glass. That's the point of that.
What is a grapefruit spoon? What does it look like?
It's got a serrated edge. It's like a small, thin spoon that's got kind of a jagged edge on one side, so it helps you cut out the sections better.
I noticed that a lot of your songs about food, which I understand are not all autobiographical, but they're written from the point of view of someone who eats a lot of very decadent, very unhealthy food. And I'm sure that there's obviously comedic potential in that, so I understand that. But I wonder if, because you're very thoughtful about what you eat, I wonder if you ever use your music to pig out vicariously.
I never really thought of that way. When I wrote Grapefruit Diet, that was sort of my sequel to Fat in a way, because it's like after he becomes morbidly obese, well, I better drop a few pounds.
Right.
So I got to include whatever fat jokes I didn't get the first time around.
The outtakes.
Right.
The rye or the Kaiser.
Try the rye or the Kaiser. They're on special tonight. If you want, you can have an appetizer. You might like a salami and the liver's all right. And they'd really go well with the rye or the Kaiser.
Do you have a preference between the two? Which would you use in which situation?
Well, rye certainly, if you're doing any kind of patty melt situation. I'm a kind of a rye fan. I don't have anything against Kaiser, but I'm a rye fan from way back.
Okay. All right. My wife is a huge rye person, so we always have a lot of rye in our house. But we have a bit of a dispute. Maybe you can actually take sides in this, which I'm sure you're eager to do. I know that it's more convenient to get the bread sliced. Let's say you're getting rye bread fresh at a bakery.
Uh-huh.
They get the machine that'll slice it for you.
Right.
The slices are very thin. I love a rye bread unsliced so that you can slice the slices thicker than the machine can even do.
Mm.
You get them 3/4 inch to 1 inch thick, like a grilled cheese on thick cut rye bread.
Oh, that sounds good.
Because then you get different strata within the bread. You get a crispy exterior. You get a soft, fluffy interior. And the other nice thing about getting it unsliced is that you can have different thickness of slices for different situations. So let's say you want one sandwich, you feel like having it be extra thick or thinner.
Right.
You can adjust that on a per sandwich basis.
Well, I can understand that, but you know, they say it's the best thing since sliced bread for a reason, because sliced bread is awesome.
I don't agree. I think it's overrated. I think that the worst thing since sliced bread could be sliced bread.
That might be true as well. No, I don't know. I mean, obviously, if you're looking for an extra large slice of rye bread, a sliced bread wouldn't be your option. But I'd say in like 87% of the cases, sliced bread works just fine for me.
Okay. All right. I mean, I'll respectfully disagree.
Okay.
I mean, I
don't know how respectful you're being right now, actually.
I guess I can't disagree with what works best for you, because you know that better than I do. But I would encourage people to get bread unsliced. The other thing is that when you get it unsliced, it stays fresh for longer. I'll put the whole loaf in the freezer, take it out. You can barely let it defrost a tiny bit. Saw off a frozen slice, then let that defrost. And it will, because you're exposing less of the bread
to air. That sounds like a lot of work. I think you get a slice, then you eat it very quickly.
In one of your more recent songs, Whatever You Like, you name check a lot of cheap foods. And among other cheap goods. What are some of your guilty pleasures, food guilty pleasures?
Oh, I love tater tots. Those are amazing. I've always loved those. I never went through my ramen stage in college so much. I mean, it's okay, but not one of my faves. You know what I love is like the cheap macaroni and cheese.
Do you add anything to it or do anything to it different from the box instructions?
I'm a rule follower, so I pretty much follow the box instructions. You know, I'm one of these kind of cooks that, you know, it's all got to be scientific. Like, I'm not like, oh, put a little of this and a little of that. And well, exactly how many grains of salt did exactly? Yeah.
What happened to questioning authority, Al?
Well, you know, I go the different way in the kitchen.
So it's okay to upend society's cruel conventions, except in the kitchen.
That's exactly right.
All right, now we're getting into the big guns here. Eat it. Don't you tell me you're full. Chicken, have some more pie. It doesn't matter if it's boiled or fried, just eat it. Have some more chicken, have some more pie. It doesn't matter if boiled or fried. I have to take issue with that lyric. I think it does matter.
If the pie is fried?
Well, I mean, fried pie. You must have had. Have you had fried pie?
I don't think I have.
Oh, it's so good.
Really?
I mean,
anything fried. Anything fried on a stick.
Right, exactly. You know, and boiled pie is not going to be very good. So that one is an easy one. I mean, boiled chicken versus fried chicken also.
Well, I think the protagonist in this song is just saying, like, I don't care if it's boiled or fried. It is your obligation to eat this,
right,
whether
right.
It tastes good or not.
But in that lyric, do boiled and fried apply both to the chicken and the pie?
It's whatever you want it to be. I left it vague on purpose so you can put your own meaning onto it.
Okay. Fat. Your butt is wide. Well, mine is too. Just watch your mouth, or I'll sit on you. The word is out, better treat me right. 'Cause I'm the king of cellulite. Ham on, whole wheat, all right. In the fat video, when you sing that lyric, you sort of start to take a bite out of a ham sandwich, and then there's a cut, and then you kind of toss it. You don't really see you taking a bite. I believe that video was shot before you became a vegetarian.
Uh-huh.
Was it a real ham sandwich, and did you take a bite of it?
That's an excellent question. I honestly don't remember. I'm sure I took a bite of it. Yeah, I mean, I have to method act. And it very well could have been a ham on whole wheat. Let's say that it was.
Okay, all right, we'll go with that.
All right.
But in theory, at that point in your life, you would
I could have. Okay. I could have feasibly been actually eating a ham on whole wheat.
That's Weird Al, friends. That's Weird Al. He's also a children's book author, by the way. My kids love his children's books. And starting this month, he's going to be the band leader on Scott Aukerman's IFC show, Comedy Bang Bang. And like I said, he's headed back out on the road for the second leg of his mandatory fun tour. Tour dates are online at WeirdAl.com. And I got to say, Mrs. Sporkful and I saw Weird Al in concert last fall. And I had heard that he puts on the fat suit from the Fat video and sings Fat. And I figured that's worth the price of the ticket right there. Whatever else I get is gravy. The show blew our minds. It was a fully realized parody of a rock concert of rock stardom and celebrity in a way that I never really imagined it could be, but it was, and it was brilliant. And so I highly recommend that you go see Weird Al. This show is a production of WNYC Studios and The Sporkful. It's produced by Ann Sani and me. Editing help from Shoshana Gold. Engineering help from Irene Trudell. Music help from Black Label Music. Special thanks to Paula Schumann. Let's go out with a little more Weird Al. This one's not food related, but it's my favorite song on his latest album. It's called Word Crimes. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman.
And this is Lee Ritchie from Atlanta, Georgia.
And this is Jason Rashkow from Stony Brook, New York.
And this is Alicia Schrader from Normal, Illinois, reminding you to eat more,
eat better,
and eat more better.
What's a contraction?